You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
This weekend, Donald Trump announced his plans to levy tariffs against European countries who oppose his plans to press for Greenland. The move, which is an attempt to levy America's economic position to dissuade what has been fervent European opposition to his desire for the territory, has been met with severe responses from Europe. With the EU threatening retaliatory tariffs and the ties between the US and the rest of NATO increasingly fraught, serious concerns and questions are being raised about how the US view Europe and their allies under the Trump administration's America First agenda. I spoke with senior lecturer in political science at the University of Otago, Professor Robert Patman, about these threats and the European response. What exactly has this threat from Donald Trump covered and entailed?
Well, Mr. Trump has made it clear for a number of years, I think going back to 2019 during his first term, that he saw Greenland as important to the United States in terms of national security. He doesn't spell out the other reasons so candidly, which is questions of Greenland's huge rare earth minerals which are available. And there is something of a sort of geopolitical race now for many competing powers in the world for access to rare earth minerals, which are often key in the high-tech race that many countries are engaged in. But so at least theoretically, Mr. Trump's view is that America needs Greenland for national security reasons. He says that Denmark cannot protect Greenland against threats from China and Russia. But you see, Mr. Trump's logic doesn't have much to sustain it. Firstly, Denmark is a member of NATO, and therefore Greenland, as an autonomous region of Denmark, is subject to full NATO protection, including from the United States. And the second reason is Mr. Trump is saying that he worries about Denmark being unable to defend Greenland against Russia and China. And yet Mr. Trump has absolutely no qualms about Mr. Putin invading Ukraine. And it's and Mr. Trump has confirmed that he believes that the victim of aggression in Ukraine, which is Ukraine, the country has been illegally invaded, he believes he is the cause of the war there. So in short, Mr. Trump's position is very confused. There's a third factor which we haven't mentioned, and that is that under a treaty signed in 1951, America already has a base in Greenland, and under that treaty, it can expand the number of bases it wants in Greenland. In fact, during the Cold War, it had up to 17 bases in Greenland. With the end of the Cold War, that number is steadily reduced to one. So under that treaty, Mr. Trump is able to satisfy all security concerns that he's articulated. So it's quite baffling. And then the question comes on, well, I suppose the question comes down to whether you believe the real motivation for this is not security, that's a smokescreen, but is to ensure that an enormous but thinly populated territory like Greenland has such mineral wealth that Mr. Trump wants to make that, he wants to extend American ownership over that to ensure that America can sustain its dominance in the world.
And with all that said then, does this threat itself represent a continuation or the natural endpoint of Trump's posturing geopolitically, or does it kind of feel like a contradiction for what he's trying to do in the world?
Well, Mr. Trump often contradicts himself, and he often says different things on different days. I would say his foreign policy is incoherent at the moment. On the one hand, he presents himself as a close ally of Putin and then worries out loud that Mr. Putin's a threat to Greenland. If he really had the excellent relations that he says he has with Putin, why is he so worried about Russia and Greenland, particularly since that territory is already subject to protection? So, quite frankly, the idea that China and Russia is deeply preoccupied with the war in Ukraine, that they're a threat to Greenland, doesn't really hold water. it seems to me that you could say this is a continuation of his America First agenda internationally. Remember, Mr. Trump has always been skeptical about NATO. And what he has done is create a crisis within NATO by imposing tariffs on eight key members, European members of NATO and the EU, for resisting and showing open opposition to his illegal claim to Greenland. So in a sense, I see this as very much all Mr. Trump asserting America First at the expense of international law and at the expense of an alliance which the United States has led.
On that, obviously, you know, Greenland does not exist in this vacuum. It's under Denmark and it's a part of NATO and the EU. Yep. What does this threat, especially of tariffs, say about the US's outright relationships with Europe?
Well, Mr. Trump and his aides are privately contemptuous of liberal democracies in Europe. And again, it comes down to the fact that the EU is the only actor in international politics that has the heft to stand up to multinational corporations and high-tech corporations. For example, it stood up to Google, and it's also fined Google, and it also fined Apple. When these multinational companies, high-tech companies, are so powerful that most nation states, including our own, would be outgunned in terms of wealth and probably wouldn't be able to stand up to pressure from them. You have 27 countries in the EU pooling sovereignty and therefore forming quite an effective deterrent to multinational companies, which are largely US-led. That is that you look at Elon Musk, you look at Bezos in Amazon, and Mr. Trump doesn't like an environment in which they're restrained in any way. So in a sense, I think that what it says is that Mr. Trump, his view of the world is quite different from any other president in the post-45 period. And I think, quite frankly, Alex, people in our government and in many liberal democracies need to start looking at Mr. Trump with very clear eyes, because this is not an administration which shares the values of this country or its interests. It doesn't believe in a rules-based international order. Mr. Trump's made it quite clear he will not be constrained by international law. His vision of how the world should be run is a global hierarchy led by the United States and supplemented in a concert of power by other great powers such as China, Russia, India, and Japan. That's how he believes there should be five countries running the world, with the United States at head of the table of those five. That doesn't leave much space for middle powers or small powers like New Zealand. So, you know, it's what does this tell us about Mr. Trump? That his vision of America's future as a sort of global hegemon, that's how he sees it. I'm not saying that's the reality. I think it's far from the reality. I think he's influencing his understanding of what to do. The problem for Mr. Trump is, both in South America, following the intervention in Venezuela, but also in Greenland, is that people will not accept this sort of back-to-the-future 19th century view of how the world should be run, and continuous resilience. And one thing we haven't mentioned, Alex, is the domestic opposition in the United States to what Mr. Trump is proposing in Greenland. Some Republicans have said that if he proceeded to use coercion against Greenland, then he could be subject to impeachment. So, and also public opinion polls in the United States indicate there's virtually no support for what he's proposing to do with respect to Greenland. And so, in a sense, he's skating on thin ice here. He's imposing tariffs against the EU, but the EU, or members of the EU is the world's largest and most prosperous single market. He runs the risk of retaliation, which could effectively shut American goods out of Europe.
You've covered a lot there, but looking at both these threats of sanctions and the sanctions themselves, if they come into being, the tariffs and sanctions, looking at both, the EU itself with the potential. They floated retaliatory tariffs on over 93 billion euros of US goods, and looking at that internal opposition, or the Republican Party themselves and countries like us, kind of on all of those, what reaction can we expect to see from these tariffs? Is this threat likely to succeed in deterring the EU, or is it just going to galvanize opposition?
I don't think it's going to work, to answer your question. I don't think the tariffs are going to intimidate. I think, you see, come back to your earlier question, the moves in Venezuela and now the move on Greenland, having come out of a clear blue sky, most liberal democracies, including our own, for the last 12 months have persisted with an approach, a softly approach to the Trump administration. That approach recognized that most liberal democracies disagreed with Mr. Trump, but they hoped by flattering him and taking a really constructive approach to anything he proposed, that they would moderate his policies and coax him into a more moderate position. What has happened is quite the reverse. By not speaking their mind on crucial international issues, Mr. Trump has doubled down on his demands. New Zealand, for example, didn't express solidarity when he threatened both. The New Zealand government, back in the early part of this year, last year I should say, did not express solidarity when Mr. Trump territorially threatened Canada as well as Greenland. And I think many New Zealanders were uncomfortable about that. But the idea was, and you can understand it on one level, the New Zealand government thought, why provoke him? Let's keep our head beneath the radar, and that way we'll avoid some of the worst tariffs that may be distributed. But it didn't work. We got landed with a 15% tariff, which was a travesty. So I think there's now, come back to your question, I don't think the tariffs will work that Mr. Trump is proposing, because it will face considerable blowback. At the end of the day, to take measures like Mr. Trump is proposing, he would need overwhelming domestic support. He hasn't got it. It's a bluff. And the Europeans are very well informed about American domestic politics. They will know how weak his position is, and they're not in a mind to give way. They're pretty furious with Mr. Trump over his stance towards the Ukraine. They haven't said that publicly, but there's no doubt about it that Mr. Trump consistently takes a pro-Putin position, and again, a position which is inconsistent with international law. Mr. Trump seems to be completely unaware that Mr. Putin's invasion of Ukraine is inconsistent with key principles of international law. He may be aware of it, but he doesn't care. So that's caused considerable anger, but it does set the scene for this confrontation now that's unfolding. And I do not believe the Europeans, it's telling that someone like Keir Starmer, who's taken a tremendous amount of domestic criticism in the UK for kowtowing or toadying to Trump, has now said that Mr. Trump's imposition of tariffs and his threats against Greenland are, in his words, completely wrong. So this is quite tough language from a country which often is seen as America's closest ally. So Mr. Trump is risking a lot with this. He's got no strategic reason for taking this action, and not strategic in the sense of security, but he may have a strategic reason in the sense that he wants to get his hands on, or America wants to get his hands on, the resources of Greenland. That won't wash with most countries in Europe. After all, if Mr. Trump got away with that, what's him to stop him putting in a bid for buying the South Island of New Zealand, or the North Island for that matter? It creates a shocking precedent, a grave precedent in international politics. And so New Zealand, as well as the other liberal democracies, I don't think are now in a mood to keep trying to compromise with Mr. Trump on this issue of Greenland.
That was the University of Otago's Professor Robert Patman on Trump's tariff threats towards the EU over Greenland and what it means for America, Greenland, Europe, and the rest of the world.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.